Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Let me just speak to that for a minute. You know, because I know a lot of time people set up their little manger scene, and they always show these wise men in the crib or in the manger. They weren't there. That's not correct. How many know that this really, the reality is that when Jesus was born, God began to reveal himself to people who were in the east. They were called Magi. Magi is short for magicians. If you read the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel talks about these men who are Magi or magicians. And Daniel is one of the chief of the magicians. And he had prophesied that in the time of those kings that God, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And I believe that many of these people in the east had read the prophecy of Daniel that one day that God would send a king, and he'd be the King of Kings, and he'd be the Lord of Lords, and of his kingdom there would be no end. And evidently God revealed himself by showing them a star. And so it goes on to read, it says, "And when the king heard this, they were disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they asked him where the Christ was to be born. And they repeated, 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" How many know he wasn't interested in worshiping him? "After that, they heard the king and they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." This morning, I want to share with you some lessons we can learn from the Magi or these wise men, because I believe that, again, our world is still in need of his presence. Our world still needs to see the risen Lord. And one of the first things we need to understand, if we're going to experience his presence, we need to seek him. You need to write it down. We must seek him. The Bible says that when they saw his star, they came to worship him. Listen, the first thing that we see, if you and I want to experience more of the presence of God, then we must make time to seek him. We're living in a world where, how many know, our lives can be so busy that we have little time to seek him. And I believe that just like in Jesus' day, I believe people are still the same today. How many know human nature hasn't changed? And sometimes we can get so caught up with so many things that we lose sight of the most important thing. And I believe it's interesting that here where men came from all, they came from the east. It is, they traveled that far because they heard that there was a Savior that was going to be born. And yet only 6 miles away in Jerusalem, here were the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. They knew about the prophecy. They knew where Jesus was to be born. And yet, isn't it interesting that they did not even take time to go and seek him out? The Bible says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know, I believe one of the greatest things that hinders us from seeking the Lord is, I call it, the sin of indifference. You know, the sin of indifference is when we you know, we just don't care. Sometimes when we lose sight of what's important to God. It's amazing how we can be passionate about certain things, but we lose sight of the most important thing. It's amazing. Listen, I love football. I love watching the games. But isn't it amazing how sometimes we can be more passionate over who won the game last night than the fact that there's a king who's been born? And I want you to know that if we are going to experience God's presence, we got to realize that we got to seek him. I believe wise men still seek him. Can I have an amen? Jesus, isn't it? Listen, the Bible says when they heard the news, they were disturbed. And this is what I want you to know, that listen, Jesus still disturbs and upsets our world. The news that Jesus is Lord. The world doesn't mind us talking about God and good things and Santa, but just don't talk about Jesus. Because how many know the name of Jesus invokes the fact that, you know what, you can't come to Jesus and not be changed. When we come to the Lord, how many know he calls us to change. The Bible says, if any man come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Listen to me. The fact that Herod was disturbed was the reality that he realized that there was a king of kings. You know, Herod was a king, but he wasn't the real king. How many know Jesus is the real king? And how many know when we're confronted with the real king, we got a choice. We can either hold on to our throne or we can get off of our throne and acknowledge there's one who's greater. And I want you to know that if we're going to experience his presence, we got to acknowledge that there's one who is greater and we need him and we must seek him out. I believe that everything that you and I need is found in the presence of God. I believe that just as the Bible says that if we seek him early, we'll find him. I believe that the greatest need in our world is for people to experience the presence of God. But how many know we must make time for him? In our busy lives, we must carve out time. Have you ever come to a place where you've been exhausted, you've been weary, you've been, you know, sometimes we can get so caught up in all of our activities and to-do lists that we can sometimes become fatigued, exhausted. But I want you to know, I've discovered that when we take time and we make time to seek him and to sit in his presence, then I've learned that everything that you and I need, grace, wisdom, strength, healing, everything you and I need is found at the presence of God. One of the scriptures that most people like to claim, especially as we start the year, is Jeremiah 29:11. How many know that scripture? Most of you know it. It says it this way. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. How many of you want to experience a good hope? How many of you want a good future? How many of you are looking forward to that in 2020 you're believing for something greater, something better? You know, all of us want a great future. All of us want to experience God's best. But here's the promise. We claim the promise, but sometimes we forget the condition. Listen to what it says in verse 12 and 13. It said, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen, and you will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. I want you to know that the secret to you and I experiencing God's presence in our lives is to seek him with all our heart. One of the reasons why we start out every new year with a time of prayer and fasting is because I've learned that, listen, there's plans that God has for my life that I don't even know about. How many know? I believe that there's some great things that's coming in 2020. I believe it's not only a year. You know, 2020 means perfect vision. How many are looking for something greater in 2020? How many, yeah, I don't care what your 2019 was, but how many know God has something greater in 2020? Because God is always a great, he's always a God of increase. He's always a God of more. But listen to me, here's the secret. If you want to experience God's more, God's greater, greater vision, the key is found. He said, you will seek me and find me when you search with all of your heart. It goes on saying, then I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. When we start our time off, when we start our day off, I want you to know that God rewards those who diligently seek him. In Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to ask you a question. Who did you come seek today? If you came to seek to see who came, what people had on, if you came to seek, well, you know what, I just came out of religious duty, you know, you're going to leave disappointed. But I want you to know, when you come to seek Jesus, how many came to seek Jesus? When you come because I want more of him. You know, the danger of a lot of time Christmas services, sometimes we fall in a rut of tradition where we just go because that's what we're supposed to do. But you know, when we have a heart that, God, I want to meet with you. God, I want more of you. It's like I'm willing to sacrifice. This is what these religious, these magi did. They recognized that a king was born, and they were willing to travel from afar to seek him. And the Bible says, those who seek me early will find me. And I want you to know the reason why they experienced God's presence is because they were willing to seek him. Secondly, the Bible says clearly, on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. I want you to know, if you and I are going to experience his presence, we must humble ourselves and worship him. You know, the greatest thing that you and I can do is to worship Jesus. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The Bible says God is even seeking out people who will worship him. And I want you to know, if we want to experience his presence, we're going to have to learn how to worship him. Let me just tell you, worship means to humbly submit your life to the Lord. Worship is not just you singing a song. Worship is not you just raising your hand. But worship is you bringing your life and say, God, it's you. I bring my life and I lay it at your feet. And I say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Worship is when I'm saying, Lord God, I want your will greater than my own. See, because worship, Jesus talked about those who worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Real worship is loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Real worship is more than, that's why we can lift our hands and not experience worship. We can sing a song but not experience worship. But how many know, if you came here to love on Jesus, how many know that's what worship is? Worship is the expression of our heart saying, God, it's you I love. I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, God. It's you I love. You know, that's the kind of worship that God is pleased with. And imagine these people came and they humbled themselves and they worship. Worship means that, God, I'm more excited about you than I am about the New Orleans Saints. Oh, it just got real quiet in here. I think I hit a nerve there. You know, because we have so many things that distract us and draw us away from our worship from the Lord. I want you to know, that's why I say one of the greatest ironies and tragedies about Christmas is that though it is one of the greatest celebrations, often Jesus is not even worshiped during Christmas. In many of our celebrations, we fail to acknowledge the ones whose birthday it is. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to come to somebody's birthday party and not even recognize the one who we're here to celebrate? And do you realize that we can be guilty of that when we recognize Christmas is not about, that's why I say it's not about you. Look at somebody again. Tell them it's not about you. So don't be disappointed if they don't give you a present. We really do have it all wrong. We it's good to bless people. It's good to acknowledge the people, the special people in our lives, and share our love with them. That's the way that's what love is. Love is expressing and sharing our love. But how many know the first person we're called is to worship Him? And if we give attention to everything else and neglect Him, we've missed the whole purpose of why we celebrate Christmas. The Bible says in Psalm 16, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, a lot of times we seek presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. How many of you like presence? But let me just tell you, sometimes we can come to the end of Christmas and be empty if all you sought after was presence. But if you'll seek His presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I got it right. My wife is my English teacher. Presence is this presence of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." You want to know the secret to a blessed life? How many want to have a blessed life? How many want to have a greater blessing in 2020? If you want the secret to a blessed life, listen, don't seek things. Don't seek who you can, sometimes we seek materialism. We seek what's the next deal, what's the next investment. The Bible says seek Jesus, seek His presence, seek to do His will, seek to obey Him. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then the Bible says, then all these other things shall be added unto you. How many know that God is not against you being blessed? He just wants you to make sure that you make the blessing, you don't put the blessing before the blesser. And one of the tragedies is we have in our nation is that we spend so much time seeking blessings that we neglect the blesser. We spend so much time seeking presents, things we can wrap and put under the tree, that we neglect His presence. You can't rush worship. I say you can't rush worship. We want a 3-minute message and we want to then rush because the Saints game is coming on. But to spend time with Jesus, it takes time. It takes a sacrifice. The word worship means to bow one's life before Him. And listen to me, I want to tell you that if you and I are going to experience God's presence, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year, we have to take time to worship Him. The greatest thing that you and I can do is learn to worship Him, to spend time letting Him know how much I love Him. You know, I was just writing and just reviewing. Any of you like me, you look over the year. It's amazing how quick 2019 has passed. The year is gone. But I was just reviewing the year, and I was just writing in my journal, and I was just thinking of the many blessings and breakthroughs and the things that God has done in my life, and His, I was just beginning to, and I just stopped just to begin to worship God. I didn't thank God. You know, it was amazing. Many of you know I shared how God miraculously allowed us to pay off our home, and we're debt free, and we owe nobody nothing. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that good? But listen to me. But you know, that is not what I'm most happy about. I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, I came through another year. I'm enjoying good health. I got my right mind. I'm not in a crazy house. Aren't you glad you got your right mind? Come on, isn't that good? But listen, but you know, I'm most grateful for the fact, as I looked over my life and I begin to just recall how God has been good to me, how His peace has filled my life, that He's given me a joy that no material thing can give. You can take everything I own away And I'll still have joy because I got Jesus. This is why you got to have a joy that's centered not in things, because things are temporary. Listen to me. Just this morning, I learned that a dear pastor in our community, he's gone home to be with the Lord. His life is over. Our lives are just but a vapor. It's just like this. Listen, and the amazing thing is everything you work for, you live for, none of it you can take with you. How much time we spend shopping on things that's going to perish? How much time we spend, you know, we sometimes like Martha. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha, Jesus came to Martha's house, and Martha was so busy cleaning the house and fixing everything that she forgot that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was present. But she had a sister named Mary. And Mary realized, listen, I know Dustin, I can still dust some more, I can still clean, but the most important person is in my house, and I'm going to spend time with him. And Mary took time to sit at Jesus' feet. And Martha came to Jesus and said, Jesus, are you not concerned that I'm doing all the work and Mary just sitting here and sitting at your feet? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried or distracted by too many things. He said, Mary has chosen the best thing, and it will not be taken away from her. Let me just tell you, the greatest thing that you and I can do is a tragedy that so often we'll spend all our energies to getting the best deal, spending money we don't have to impress people we don't like, to buy things we don't even need. But I want you to know, if you just take time to worship Jesus, if you'll take time to love him. And I want you to know that I begin to write down just some of the things that he's done in my life. Some of the peace. I told Angela, you know, I realized that just God is the capacity to love people. I love people I couldn't love last year. I really do. I begin to thank God. I begin to thank God for his keeping power. I begin to thank God for how he's filled my life with his love. I begin to thank God for that. You know, I can lay down at night and I can still sleep and I don't have to worry about anything because he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I begin to thank God for the peace he's given me. I begin to thank God that, you know, Lord, look how you've saved my wife. You saved my family. You saved my, and I'm just telling you, it's not the material things that I thought. And I begin to thank God. I begin to thank God for the things that money can't buy. Somebody give God some praise. Let me just tell you, and this is what you got to understand. Worship is acknowledging that, listen, I want you to know you can have all the money in the world, but you don't have Jesus. I want you to know you're bankrupt and you're broke. But I want you to know you can be broke and bankrupt, but if you got Jesus, you're the richest man in the world. Can I have an amen? And that's what it's all about. And these wise men realized that the greatest thing was to bow in the worship Jesus. And I want you to know that the greatest thing that you and I can do, not just in Christmas, but every day of our lives, is learn to worship him. We used to sing a song years ago, so forget about yourself, concentrate on him, and worship him. Come on, just forget about yourself. Let me just tell you, I'm speaking to some of you. You might have gone through a divorce. You might have had a miscarriage. You might have gone through an illness. Your family might have broken up. But I want you to know, if you'll get out of yourself and begin to focus on Jesus, I want you to know that then peace will come. I want you to know joy will come. I want you to know healing will come. I want you to know that the victories that come in our lives often come in the presence of God. And that's why, listen to it. Sometimes say, well, you know, well, I go to church, I wait till after the song service, and then I try to slip in. Well, you missed the best part. Because I want you to know, if you don't realize that your first duty is to worship him, if you don't realize that your greatest responsibility is to give him praise, when you know, the old saying said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And some of you, let me just tell you, Your greatest need is not for a new car, a new shoe, a new house. Your greatest need is for some peace. And I want you to know, if you'll lift your hands and begin to praise him, God will give you some peace. Listen to me. Some of you, let me just say, oh, I'll give you $1 million, but it can't heal your broken marriage. But if you'll learn to give God some praise, come on, I mean, he can come. He's a master. He can fix whatever is going wrong with your life. Some of you got some sickness in your body, and all the doctors in the world can't fix it. But I mean, I know a doctor who can fix anything. He's a great physician. And if we'll learn how to worship him, that's why I want to say the greatest thing that you and I can do is worship him. And I'm telling you, listen, if God doesn't do anything else for me, I'm going to stand here. Will somebody help me worship him this morning? Will somebody give him some praise this morning? If God's been good to you, if God healed you, if God saved you, if he forgave you of your sins, if he gave you another day, can somebody, let me just say, that's why we exist. We live to praise him. God, if you don't do anything else, I'm going to praise you. Come on. God, if you don't do anything else for my life, I'm going to praise you. And we need to let our children know it's not about the toy. It's not about the presence under the tree. It's about the presence, the one who owns everything. We need to teach them. Let me just tell you, the greatest disservice we could do to our children is to give them presents and not teach them how to worship the one who gives presents. Because I want you to know, it's the presence of God that'll deliver them. It is the presence of God that'll save them. It's the presence of God that'll turn their lives around. Let me just tell you, you got to come to a place in your life that, listen, God, I'm not too proud to praise you. Let me just tell you, proud people won't praise him. But I want you to know, it takes humility. God, it's not about me. It's all about you. And you see, presence, say, God, it's you that I worship. It's amazing. Listen to me. Just look around. There are people, if they was at the Saints game this afternoon, I want you, they'll be shouting, they'll be bucking, they'll be doing, oh, I want you, they'll do it all. But isn't it sad? Isn't it a tragedy that the very people who will shout for somebody running down a field that can't do nothing for you, they won't lift their hands and give Jesus some praise. They won't acknowledge Jesus. That's why, let me just tell you, the Bible said God resists the proud, but he give grace to the humble. And humility saying is, God, I need you. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those who see their need thing. Blessed are those who acknowledge that, God, you're everything. God, it's not about what's under my tree today, God. But God, it's all about you. We're here to celebrate you. Did anybody beside me come to celebrate him? I'm just saying, listen, where you give God, just for right now, just for 1 minute, just begin to give him a praise, right? Come on, begin to thank him that he healed your body, that he kept your mind. The devil wanted to steal your mind, but God kept you. Come on, that he put a hedge of protection around you. Come on, that he blessed you. He saved you. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, he gave you joy today. We got peace today. Come on, it's because of that. That's why we worship him. That's why we worship him. And that's what it's all about. Parents, let me just tell you, hear me carefully. The greatest thing you can give your children is let them know that you're not ashamed of loving Jesus. The greatest thing that you can do is say, listen, everything we have is because of Jesus. Everything we own is because of Jesus. If I got the reason why I'm still with your mama, boy, is because of Jesus. Come on, the reason why, let me just tell you, it's because of Jesus. And we need to remind them, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's him. That's why I love him so much. That's why, listen, that's why I don't have to wait for Christmas to get excited. We could have it every day with you, Lord. It's sweeter than the day before, come on. I say every day with Jesus. Every day, hear me, this is what the world is looking for. They're not looking for fickle, indifferent Christians who only worship Jesus on Sunday but forget about him on Monday. But they're looking for people that have an abiding joy. Not saying we won't go through things. Not saying we won't have difficulty. Not saying that we won't, that things will come in our lives that sometime may break our heart. I want you to know, here's the difference. When we got Jesus, I said when we got Jesus, we got everything. He's the one who heals the broken heart. He's the one who can fix anything that you're going through. And I want you to know, when you learn how to let the world know the joy that I have is not because of my new coat. It's not because of my new outfit. Come on. It's not because of my new shoes. Come on. Come on. There's a joy I got today that don't depend on the new earrings or the new hairdo. Come on. There's a joy that money couldn't give. Come on, child. A present is because of the presence of God. Come on. Give God some praise because it's Him who we love. Yeah. These wise men realize it was all about worship Him. And lastly, as I close, the Bible says they not only bowed down and worshiped Him, but then the Bible says then they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts. Who did they present with gifts? I said, who did they present with gifts? What gift did you bring? I've asked you a question. What gift did you bring? Isn't it amazing how we show up at His party empty-handed? You know, one of the greatest joys in life is the joy of being a giver. I was just sharing, we had a board meeting yesterday, and I was just sharing with our board how I'm just, one of the things I'm so grateful for is the generosity of this congregation, that because of your generosity, we literally have fed hundreds and hundreds of families this past year. We've been able to assist and help so many in their time of need. You know, but I don't believe we've even scratched the surface. How many of you believe there's more that God wants us to do? I am grateful. I'm grateful that, you know, when 376 employees lost their job because of the local plant that closed down, when Bayou Steel closed down, you as a congregation, you gave generously. Some of you had a need yourself, but out of your need, you said, God's been too good for me not to bless somebody. And you gave generously. And I want you to know that the joy of the Lord is found. And when we learn how to release a heart of gratitude, this is what these wise men did. They realized what God had did in their lives. The Bible said when they saw the star, they was overjoyed. How many of you got joy today? You know, I do too many funerals to realize life is not about stuff. God ain't against us. God has blessed my life. I'm just saying, I am blessed. I'd make no apology. God has blessed my life. I mean, it's amazing. But life is not about stuff. Life is about, let me just tell you, you know, I think it was Theodore Roosevelt said, you know, we gain a life by what we get, but we find life by what we give. And when you learn to be generous, I'm reading the story of the Macedonian church. Paul shared their example. They were very poor. They were going through a lot of affliction and persecution. But this is what he says in the Living Bible in verse 2. He says, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, he says, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Nothing moves the heart of God like when we worship God in our giving. When out of gratitude for what He has given, we bless others. See, the only right motivation for giving is realizing that, God, because you've been so good to me, how can I not bless somebody? How can I not share? See, you know, if you're given a gift begrudgingly, people know that you gave me because you thought I was going to give you something. You know, you ever showed up at a family function for Christmas, and you know you got that person, you know, but they gave you a gift, but their heart wasn't in it. They just gave you because that's what they were supposed to do. But isn't it a difference when somebody gave it to you out of, man, you know, because God's been so good and you've been such a card with, and I just want to share how much I love you. Isn't it me? They can give you a card with nothing in it, but when it's out of a gratitude in general, your heart is full. Isn't it amazing? You know, let me just tell you. So when you and I learn that when we give out of joy and gratitude, that's what blesses the heart of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, here's the last scripture as I close. Listen, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful. What kind? Listen to what the Amplified Bible says. God takes pleasure in and prizes above everything a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. You want to know what causes the favor and the blessings of God? How many want more of his favor? How many want, let me just say, I'm going to tell y'all a secret to his favor. Sam shared a little bit of it today. He talks about how he who gives to the poor, he lends to the Lord, and God says, I'll repay. God says, when you bless people who can't do nothing for you, when you help people who can't help you, you know, so much of what we do is because we're looking for what people are going to do for us in return. But God says, when you're willing to help people who can't do nothing for you, God said, then I see and I keep record. And how many know, when God paid back, he not paid back like you. God ain't stingy. Look at somebody and say, God ain't stingy. And if you want to experience more of his presence, listen to me. How many want more presence? Not just this. How many want more presence in 2020? How many want more of his presence? I'm going to tell you the secret. Here it is. You know, you've heard me say it, but I'm just telling you, I've not always been generous. I'm grateful that I've had examples in my life. I've had the examples of my mother. I had the example of my father-in-law. I've had the example of others who modeled sacrificial generosity. I had the example of my mentor. I remember one time, one of this spiritual mentor of mine, I know they didn't have hardly anything, but he saw Andy and I. We were struggling. We were on one income. We had, I think, one or two children at the time, and we were struggling. And I remember he and his wife gave me an envelope, and there was money in it, and just wanted to bless. And I know they didn't even have it, but they blessed us. Man, I was taken. I was blown. I didn't want to take it, but I would have insulted him. I was so grateful, but I learned, I saw how others learn how to give out of their need, and that was opened up the door of blessing. If you want to know any reason why, I'm just telling you, anybody who know my life, there's favor on my life. There's just the blessing of God on my life. I'm just telling anybody, you know, I don't apologize. God's favor is on my life. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Let me just tell you that God bless. But I'm telling you, I've learned that if I'll keep an open hand and an open heart, and I'll say, God, this is what I say, God, when the God made me debt free, I went before the Lord, and I cried, and I said, God, now, everything I own is yours. I say, God, now, what do you want me to do with my resources? It's not mine. If I die today, I can't take none of it with me. What do you want me to do? I don't owe no man nothing but the Lamb. So, God, what do you want me to do with the money I got? And God just began to speak to me in areas of where he want me to become more generous, become a greater giver. This year, we, Ann and I, gave away more than we've ever given before. I think we probably more than we've ever given before. But how many know God wants to do more? The amazing thing about God, listen, this is what blows your mind. I'm closing. Hear me. People don't understand this. You can't outgive God. It's like the more I try to give out, the more it looked like it just come back on me. And it's like the more I push out, the more it looked like it just come back more. And the more I try to push out, God, you ain't fair. Come on, God. He's better than fair. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's omnipotent. He's mighty. He's full of joy. Let me tell you, he's a good God. This is why I love him, because he's so good. I love him. Let me tell you, you know, and I realize that I can't take nothing with me, but I can send some ahead of me. And I want to have something up there when I get there. How many of you want to have something up there when you get there? And if I want to have something when I get there, then I got to learn to be generous. And the Bible said of these wise men, they gave their treasures to the Lord. They opened up what they had, and they gave what was fitting to a king, gold, silver. I put the silver. Gold, frankincense. I was just testing to see if you know your Bible. But they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold representing royalty, the gift for a king. Frankincense, the gift representing his priesthood. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Myrrh is what's used for funerals, is representing the fact that he came to die. He came to be the savior of the world. And they honored him as his king. I want to challenge you as I close. If you want to experience a greater presence in the Lord, for some of you, it means then you're going to have to learn to start being generous. For some of you, you're going to have to realize it's not about you. God, who can I bless? Brother Richard, you're here today, huh? Richard, raise your hand. Well, yeah. Richard told me about a lady who husband left her. You're there, Richard. And that she's about to lose her car. She's about to lose her home, and she has nothing. What greater way to show people that there's a God who loves her than to respond to people in their time of greatest need? We live in a world where there's a real devil. The Bible says Satan comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. He still wants to destroy homes, destroy families, destroy people's lives. When I heard that, my heart broke. I said, Richard, would you find out what can we do to help this lady? There's so many hurting people. And I'm just telling you, this is where, if we really love God, it takes resources. God says, if you see a brother in need, and you only say, be warm and be filled, but you do nothing about it, the Bible says, how can the love of God be in you? The Bible said, we do not love just in word, but we to love indeed. I'm not taking up an offering this morning. Some of you starting to hold your pocketbook. That's all right. I'm here to tell you that if you want to experience God's presence, number one, you got to make time to seek him. Number two, you got to make time to worship him, to humbly acknowledge him. And lastly, you got to make time, and you got to intentionally give unto him. The way we give unto him, Jesus said, listen. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. He said, when I was in prison, you visited me. They said, Lord, when did we see you doing that? When we did? He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. How many want to love on Jesus some more? How many want to bless Jesus some more? Won't you stand to your feet right now as we close? Won't you stand? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for, Lord, those who came today. I thank you for everyone who came in this room, Lord. Some, Lord, came because they realized that that might be a void in their lives. They might realize that, God, they've been seeking presence, but they don't realize that what they need is you. It's Jesus that they need. Father, I pray today for that person whose heart is empty in their lives. Lord, they have stuff, but they don't have you. I pray that today, God, that they will see that what they're looking for is you. Secondly, Lord, I pray, Father, help us not to be indifferent. Help us, Lord God, that we don't want to be like the religious people of Jesus' day, that we didn't make time to seek you. That, Lord, though they were only 6 miles away, but yet they didn't find time to seek after Jesus. God, you say those who seek you will find you. So, God, help us daily to realize, God, that in our busy lives that we'll make time to seek you. I pray, Father, that over this room, Lord, God, you say you created us to worship and that the Father is seeking those who will worship him. Lord, what we need is found in you. God, it's not about us. And so, Lord, in this day when we celebrate Christmas, in this day when we, this week when we will celebrate Christmas, help us to remember, Lord, it's your birthday. We're here to celebrate that you came into the world to save us from our sins. And so, Lord, let us be intentional about worshiping you. And lastly, God, as I close, I pray that, God, open our eyes. Let us see that, God, that everything we have is really a gift from you. And God, show us how to be generous. Show us how to give to those in need. Show us how to bless the unfortunate. Show us how to, Lord God, help. Sometimes we don't have to look far. Sometimes it's right in our own home. Sometimes it's right in our neighborhood. Sometimes it's right around us. Sometimes it's right in our workplace. God, give us the grace to freely give to others as you've given to us. And God, we promise we'll give you all the glory. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, I'm Patty King. Come on, let's...